the Lord has been reminding me this past week as just thinking about what Brother Frank has been teaching through Acts, and what Brother Corey and Brother Frank and Brother Tim have been teaching us through Philippians. And so I wanted to not teach a part of Philippians, but just kind of share with you how God has been teaching me as we're going through this letter. So rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. That is a phrase that's found in the fourth chapter of Philippians, that Paul gives that instruction as he has shared his heart to his beloved church at Philippi. So I want to do that tonight. I want to encourage you tonight through Scripture, specifically through Psalms that we're going to be looking at, based on what we've been learning, seeing how Paul rejoices in the midst of persecution, imprisonment, strife. He still rejoices in the Lord. We're halfway through the letter, started chapter 3, so we're almost toward the end. It's a really short letter, but you can already see it's that epistle of joy, to rejoice in the Lord. Nehemiah tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength, so we need to rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the God of our salvation. This world is sinful, it's fallen, it's wicked, it's perverse, but we must not forget that Jesus told us in this world we'll have trouble, but take heart, Jesus has overcome the world. He tells us that in John 16. So that's what I want to learn. I want to follow that teaching, that admonition, that pattern that we see so many times in Scripture, how we're not, our joy is not dependent on what is going on in the world around us. Rather, it is anchored in the truth of Christ, in the truth of His Word. Psalm 97 is an excellent example of this. Verses 10 through 12, and those are on the screen for you. Look at how the psalmist reminds us of where our joy, where how we can rejoice in the midst of a cruel and wicked world. O you who love the Lord, hate evil! Exclamation point. He preserves the lives of his saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, or light dawns for the righteous, and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. Give thanks to His holy name. That's what Paul, I believe, is trying to convey to that church in Philippi. He knows there's persecution coming already there. They've seen it, as he shared with them in the first two chapters that we've seen in Philippians. Paul wants them to experience what he has seen God do in the midst of his persecution. He wants that for his beloved church in Philippi. He taught his brothers and sisters how in Christ he can rejoice in the Lord, whether in prison, in persecution, whatever the circumstance may be. It did not affect his joy. If you remember back in Philippians 1, verse 4, he's opening up that letter and he talks about his prayer life. He says, I thank God when I remember you in my prayers. And he says, I make my prayers with joy. And in verse 18 of chapter 1, he talks about how the Christ is being preached. Some are preaching out of selfish ambition and some are doing it with a right heart. But he says, I have to rejoice because Christ is being preached. Even though I'm in prison, Christ has used my imprisonment for the gospel to be preached. Rejoice with me, brothers and sisters, in the Lord, that Christ is being proclaimed. And in chapter 2, verse 17, you'll remember he talked about, even if God calls Paul to be poured out as an offering, he says, I am glad and I will rejoice if that is what God calls me to do. Now, that is a peace of God that surpasses human understanding. That's a peace of God that God has given to Paul that guards Paul's heart and mind from being downcast, allows him to be able to rejoice. In Christ Jesus, God has guarded Paul's heart and mind so that he can be an example of rejoicing in the Lord. So, I got to thinking about the Psalms. There's so many different Psalms where you see it start heavy, really, really difficult situations. Many of the Psalms written by David, you know, David had many struggles in his life for different reasons, some of his own doing, others because he was a king of a nation that was under attack from many sides. So a lot of the Psalms, especially those written by David, start really heavy, persecution, sadness. But in so many of them, by the time he gets to the end of that Psalm, he remembers, oh, my hope is in the Lord. My strength is in the Lord. I will glory in the Lord. I'll rejoice in the Lord. So I wanted to take you through 20 or 30 of them in a few minutes. And I said, just kidding. I want to be sure you're awake. Just three or four of them. Look at Psalm 13. It's on the screen also. Psalm 13 is one of these that shows us this pattern. So this is a Psalm of David, most likely written while he was being hunted by Saul. So if you know the story of David, Saul's heart is turned wicked. He hates David, and he ends up, because of David's success on the battlefield, ends up being extremely jealous. Saul is extremely jealous toward David and tries to kill him, and David kind of has to go on a run while he's being hunted. And so David says this in Psalm 13, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken." But he begins to rejoice. He begins to turn. Look at it. "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." That's a lesson you and I need to learn. Life is difficult. Struggles are real. This psalm is not denying the difficult situation that David is in. But we cannot allow the flesh to take our eyes off of the God who delivers, the God of our salvation. That's what happened with David. The Lord brought back to his mind, no, I haven't trusted in David. I've trusted in the steadfast love. My heart will rejoice in God's salvation. That's how we rejoice in the Lord. Remember the situation that Philippian church and Paul are in. The enemy is winning. Paul is in prison. Persecution is happening. Rejoice in the Lord by remembering the God of your salvation. Let's look at another one, Psalm 22. The first eight verses of Psalm 22. This is another psalm of David. Historians not sure if this one was written when Saul was persecuting David or David's son Absalom led a revolt against David. Possibly one of those difficult, stressful situations were happening when this psalm was written. The first eight verses, let's look at that. My God, why have you forsaken me? And we know that phrase really is very familiar to us because that was what Jesus spoke on the cross. This is a really amazing psalm. It gives you a little bit of a window on what David was feeling. This psalm was written about 1,000 years before Jesus was born. But in this psalm, the Holy Spirit gives David a glimpse into the agony that our Christ will suffer on the cross. So with what little bit we can understand about the crucifixion of Christ, that should give you some idea of what David's going through as he writes this Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer. By night, I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you, our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you, they cried and were rescued. In you, they trusted. They were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man. I'm scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. And this is what they say. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him. For he delights in him. And remember, that's what the people would say when they would look up at Jesus. Said, let him save himself. He was mocked, made fun of, ridiculed. Look now at verse 14. It continues on with the image of the crucifixion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It's melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I count all my bones. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. But again, just thinking about how David feels. If this was during the time of Absalom's revolt, this is David's son. Had so many, I'm sure, many hopes and dreams and wishes for him, but he was drawn away, does a number of evil things, and ends up turning against his dad, leading the country. Eventually would be split because of that. And so David is having to deal with this, go through this. As parents, we can understand the stress, the sadness of watching our children go away from the Lord, knowing there's destruction headed that way. How do we handle that? How do we deal with that sorrow, anger, all the emotions kind of wrapped into one? And so David's dealing with that as well. In verse 22, he begins to rejoice. Look at 22. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. He has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. He's not hidden his face from him. He has heard when he cried to him. Oh, take comfort in that. For you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations shall worship before you. The kingship belongs to the Lord. And the Lord rules over the nations. when we think that things are out of control, and they are out of our control, remember, rejoice in the Lord, who is the King over all, the King over all nations, the King over all things, the sovereign Lord. Remember that when we know we can't handle it. Rejoice in the Lord because he can. Look again at Psalm 77. Psalm 77. This is not a psalm of David. It tells us it's a psalm of Asaph. This psalm takes us to a time when either the Assyrians or the Babylonians were laying siege to Jerusalem. And so with all the war that's going on there, what's going to happen? Where is God in all this? How is he allowing this, to his city, to be desecrated and take place? We know because of the sin of the people, but this psalm is written here in the midst of all of that. And it says, I cry aloud to God, aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. That's what we have to do. We have to do this. In the night, my hand is stretched out without weary. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. And he asked, will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has the Lord's steadfast love forever ceased? You see, he's going down the wrong way here. He's not remembering. He asked, are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in anger shut up his compassion? We know this can happen when depression comes on us, when difficult situations that seem to drag on and on have no end. It is the flesh to follow and go in that line of thinking. But the psalm reminds us we cannot do that. That is not the Lord of our salvation has not left us. The answer to all those questions is no. He has not forgotten. No, he has not gone back on his promises. Verse 10, he remembers that. Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Church, that's why we need to know Scripture. That's why we need to study it often, because we forget it. You can't ponder and remember if you don't read it and know it. That's why we're laboring together with the students to try to memorize some verses that will be a help to us, that God has let us, hey, let's work on this Scripture together, so that when we're in the midst of struggle, the Holy Spirit brings back to mind that truth. How can a young man keep his way pure, Psalm 119 says? By guarding his way with your word. Right here, the psalmist says, I'm going to remember the deeds of the Lord. I'm going to ponder his works. I'm going to meditate on his mighty deeds. And look what he chooses to remember, what the Holy Spirit brings to his mind to remember during the midst of this war that's about to happen. Verse 13, your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. And what happened? Your way was through the sea. Your path through the great waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. He remembered when the Egyptian army had them locked in the desert on one side, the Red Sea on the other, and God, by his mighty outstretched arm, delivered them. The God of their salvation parted the Dead Sea, the Red Sea, and they walked through on dry ground. The Lord led them through like a shepherd. I love that. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And he could rejoice in that. He knew, he knew what God had done. He could rejoice in the Lord that had brought salvation then and would bring salvation again. There are so many different times that we can get off track. But the Lord in his graciousness, his kindness, will pull us back, will show us where we've got wrong thinking, because his word will give us light. It says it lights the path that we should walk. So he will bring us back to the right path, like a good shepherd will lead us into the right thinking, causing us to rejoice in the Lord. A couple of verses last, let's look back in Philippians 2. We looked at this just a couple of weeks ago. Philippians 2, verse 14 and 18. Or 14 through 18, rather. He says, as he's teaching them about being obedient to the Lord, to consider one another over yourselves. He says to do all things without grumbling, without disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. That's what the psalmist did. So that in the day of Christ, I could be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, also, you should be glad and rejoice with me. We should have this mind in common, that we will rejoice with one another while we obey the word of the Lord together. Together, rejoicing with the Lord while we obey the word of the Lord. In Philippians 1:6, I'll close with this. I am sure of this, Paul reminds them and reminds you and I. No matter what happens, in this world you will have trouble. That's a promise from our Lord. But Paul reminds us, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Because of that truth, rejoice. I say again, rejoice in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word that gives us light to walk by, that gives us encouragement, Lord, that teaches us, that convicts us, that reminds us that you are the God of our salvation, that reminds us that we can rejoice in you because you give strength, you give deliverance, you give hope and a future. God, teach us give us a desire as a church to rejoice in the Lord together as we obey your work and will. It's in the name of Christ I pray it. Amen.